With so many options, why choose Arizona State University?
For me, the only online option was ASU because of the quality. Their faculty was really involved with their students and care about your personal journey. The dedication to my personal development from my professors, that's been extremely valuable to me.
Earn your degree from the nation's most innovative university. Online. That's a degree better. Explore more than 350-plus undergraduate, graduate, and certificate programs at asuonline.asu.edu.
It is God's desire that as surely as the dawn breaks forth daily, so will the revelation of His goodness be evident daily in every area of your life. Welcome to Dawn Extras with Tim Grage.
Today I want to talk to you about the next most important prayer to pray. You see, the number one important prayer to pray in all your life is the prayer to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. Now, when you become born again, the most important prayer to pray, I don't care what anybody else tells you, the most important prayer to pray after you become born again are prayers that are connected to reinforcing your divine identity. Prayers that continuously enforce the fact that you are equal with God. Prayers like, as it is, so am I in this world. Prayers like Colossians 2:10, in Him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and I am complete in Him. I too, in me too, dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and I give complete expression of divine nature. Prayers that reinforce to your consciousness and hopefully to your subconscious the fact that what you see in Christ is what is available in you, is what is available to you, it is what is available through you. Now, as a believer, that is the most important prayer. But right next to that, again, as a believer, right next to that, the most important prayer has to be the prayer for light. Light is the difference between walking with Jesus and yet not recognizing Him. Do you remember Luke 24? The individuals that were actually with Jesus and yet they did not recognize Him. Light is what separates the one who sees possibilities where others see problems. Light is the key to innovation, discernment, and victory in every and any area of life. Jesus Himself said in John 5:19. I want to go there. John chapter 5. Permit me to open my Bible. John chapter 5. Verse 19, I'm using the, I think this is the King James. Maybe it's the New King James, I'm not really sure. John chapter 5, verse 19, it says here, it says, then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, watch this, but what He sees the Father do, for whatever He does, the Son also does in like manner. So Jesus is saying, because He sees, light means the ability to see, because He sees what the Father is doing, He can do what the Father has done. Do you understand that? Notice, it is not just what He hears, but what He sees. It means to see as God sees is to act as God acts. Paul understood this, which is why Paul prayed continually for believers, not for money, not for promotion, but for the eyes of their understanding, our understanding, to be enlightened or flooded with light. Ephesians 1 verse 18. I want you to see that. Ephesians 1, stay with me as I open my Bible. Ephesians 1 verse 18. It says there, let me take it from 16. 16 says, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. That's another way of saying light. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding. The eyes of your understanding. The words on the eyes, or rather understanding there, also means imagination. The eyes of your understanding, being enlightened. Modern translation, I think, better illustrated by saying being flooded with light. Why? That you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. What is He saying? That when light comes, knowledge comes. when light comes, you can see what others cannot see. This is so important. So Paul knew that the devil's greatest strategy is not raw power. As a matter of fact, the devil is powerless against the life of the believer and uses the believer's power against him. This is another message, but you need to know that the devil is powerless against the believer, but uses the believer's own ignorance or the believer's own power against himself. And the primary power that he uses besides ignorance, which includes the inability to see against the believer, are the words of the believer. Again, another message. So the devil's greatest strategy is not raw power against the believer. His greater strategy is blindness. So Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4, he says, the God of this world has blinded their minds. Notice, he says, minds are being blinded, not eyes. Minds are being blinded. The deception is to think that because you are not physically blind, you can actually see. Jesus said this to the Pharisees. He says, because they claim they can see, they are truly blind. He says, the fact that they have physical eyes that can see has deceived them into thinking that what they see is all there is to see. You need light. You need light. If the devil can blind you, he can bind you. Isaiah 29 verse 10 says this. I want to open it. Let me not just quote what's there. Isaiah 29, right? Let me see if I can find it for us. Isaiah 29 verse 10. Isaiah 29 verse 10 says, for the Lord has poured out on you the spirit of deep sleep and has closed your eyes, namely the prophets, and he has covered your heads, namely the seers. What is he saying there? That because these people were stubborn towards God, their eyes were blinded. In Isaiah 56, we're still in Isaiah. Isaiah 56, verse 10 then says, it says, his watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs, hard saying. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. So this sleep speaks of physical sleep, meaning you're abdicating your responsibility because you are like a discal about the things that are going on in the spirit. Maybe because things are going well for you, so you are no longer paying attention to the things that are going on in the spirit and to the things that are about to occur, or you're just being lazy. So he says here, his watchmen are blind. He says his watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Child of God, listen. Blindness is not the absence of eyes. These people had eyes that were functional. Blindness is not the absence of eyes. It is the absence of sight. There is a difference. In Luke 24, 31 to 32, let's go there. Luke 24, 31 to 32. Let's see if I can find it. I think when we started, I'm not sure the time mentioned that. Luke 24. So it says here in verse 30. Now it came to pass as he sat at table with them. This is Jesus sitting with two of his disciples. That he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened. So they had eyes. They were looking, but they were not seeing. I say it all the time. We look with our eyes, we see with our minds. It says, then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us? So what were we seeing there? What were we seeing there? Many today attend church. They read their Bible. They sit in prayer, sit in prayer meetings, yet still lack recognition, yet still cannot see. Why? Because their inner eyes have not been opened. You need to pray the prayer that Paul taught us to pray, that your eyes become flooded with light. Remember the Samaritan woman? She had 5 failed marriages. Any ordinary man would have written her off. But Jesus saw light in her. Light was operating in the life of Jesus, meaning he had inner sight. It was not about what was in front of him. The Bible says, he that looks to the wind will not sow. It's not about what your physical eyes, your physical senses can see. No, it's more than that. There is a seed. Oh, goodness. Many believers are stuck today because they are not seeing. Hear what I'm saying? Because they are not seeing. And it's not in God's hands, it's in your hands. It's in your hands. God's word over your life is not as powerful as your word over your life. But when your word over your life is God's word over your life, then the synchronicity changes everything. That collision of your word with God's word, where they are saying the same thing, where you homologue, you say what the word is saying concerning your own life, you change your life. Child of God, listen to this. If your inner eyes are not open, you will do all the things that others are doing. And you will wonder, why is it not working for you? Jesus had insight. So when he saw the woman that other people avoided, he knew that there was something here. And because he engaged her, she opened an entire city to Jesus. Remember the boy with the 5 loaves and 2 fish? See, it makes sense to have seen that boy and looked at what he had. This was a little boy's lunch. Looked at what he had against the backdrop of the thousands upon thousands of people that needed to be fed, and just concluded. And Philip said, we have 5 loaves and 2 fish, but what is this compared to what lies ahead of us? Philip was in darkness, but Jesus was operating in light. He saw that little boy, and he saw in the eyes of the Spirit, and he knew this was going to be the trigger. Remember the widow that came to the prophet Elisha, your servant is dead. He was broke. He left us in so much debt. Now the creditors are coming to take our children away. What do you have in your house? Her eyes opened. See, those pots that she began to, that cruse of oil that she began to fill, used to fill those jars, they had always been there. They had always been there. See, when light hits you, you will find yourself praying. You will find yourself praying, and you will be declaring light, and you'll be declaring light, that your consciousness is flooded with light, that your eyes are open, that you see in the Spirit, that you see the things that are and the things that are to come, that all things are naked and open before you, because all things are naked and open before him whom we have to do. You begin to declare, my eyes are the eyes of the Christ. I see through time. I see into time. I understand the dealings of the past. I understand the things that are yet to come. I understand the circumstances of the present, for my eyes are open. I see as God sees. I see as the Christ sees. You continuously make statements like that. You'll be doing that, and all of a sudden you will just look at what is already around you. Remember Hagar? That's a big one. The well was already there. It was already there. See, because we cannot be tempted above what we can bear, the Bible says, alongside that temptation, God has already made a way of escape. It means your help preceded your opposition. Somebody, I wish you would catch this. Your help has preceded your opposition. And help is not, help from God is not the kind that always keeps you as a beggar. Help from God is not that person that you need to call that can give you that 500 rand, give you that, borrow you that rent money, borrow you that car note money, that bond money. God does better than that. When God gives you help, he's giving you resource. He's putting productivity in your pathway. Very often when God opens your eyes to see, he shows you work to do. They stop looking for, when God, notice what the angel did not say to Hagar. He didn't say, see, there's a jar of water there. No. Many of us were hoping that the thing that God will give us will be the jars of water. meaning God just gives you money here, gives you money there. God doesn't want to do that. If it's financial issues, God wants to give you more work. Not the kind of work that will wear you out and kill you, but fruitful work, fruitful labor. He said to Hagar, there is a well. She still had to fetch water. She and Ishmael still had to fetch the water. But it was now a constant stream of water that was available to them. Do you know that's how God works? That's how it works. But we need to have sight. The Bible speaking about Jacob, the Bible says that he slept in Bethel and then he woke up and he said, the Lord was in this place and I knew it not. I wish he knew it, because there is a very strong possibility that if he knew what God was doing at that point in time, he would not have suffered for the 20 years of betrayal, backstabbing that he experienced with Laban. Yes, he walked away with great resource, but God does not need you to suffer to your death before you enter into the place of your blessing. He doesn't need that for you. Some people teach that, look at Jacob, look at what he had to go through with Laban. Look at Joseph, look at what he had to go through in order to prosper. And I argue, look at Isaac. What did Isaac go through to prosper? And I argue, look at Judah. What did Judah have to go through to prosper? You can choose your own story. If you want to choose a story of people that suffered before they were blessed, suffered near death, almost died before they were, you can find them. If you want to choose other stories of people who came into the blessing, doesn't mean they didn't labor. Look at Isaac. Isaac still labored. The Bible says that Isaac sowed in the time of famine and he reaped 100-fold. What does that tell us? He still labored. He sowed. When we say he sowed, he tilled the ground. And the more ground he tilled, the more harvest he got. And because he had great harvest, he tilled great ground. That's a lot of work. That's a lot of work. But he did not have to suffer for 20 years like his son eventually did. Child of God, pick your example in the Bible. I've picked the examples of people who had skill, had insight. They did their work and their work prospered dramatically. Others are picking individuals that went through hell and high water. They still prosper though. Others are identifying with Job. I will never identify with Job no matter what. Others are identifying with Jacob. Maybe that's your story. Maybe that's why you need to change the people you identify from. Learn their lessons so that you don't have to experience what they experience. That's just a sidebar. But we see that if Jacob only understood that he was at a place, a junction point, a connecting point between the heavens and the earth. The Bible tells us that angels go up and down. They traffic between the two realms with the prayers of the saints. He would have tabled prayers. Oh, that was his opportunity to have tabled proper prayers. And he would have been delivered from some of the heartache that he eventually experienced. Child of God, Jeremiah 17:6 says something very, very troubling. Jeremiah 17:6. Yo. This is a tough one. Look at this scripture. I don't know if you've seen it before. This is a tough one. It says, for he shall be like a shrub in the desert. Sure. And shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness. He shall not see when good comes. The problem is not that good hasn't come. The problem is that eyes are closed. Eyes are closed. Look at Proverbs 20 verse 13. Proverbs 20 verse 13. I want you to see this. Oh, Shabra Haskita Yalabaske dia. Proverbs 20. Proverbs 20 verse 13. It says, do not love sleep, lest you come to poverty. Open your eyes and you will be satisfied with bread. The problem is, are your eyes open? Open your eyes. My prayer is that your eyes don't open after you've lost everything. Your eyes don't open concerning how to raise that son after you have lost it. Your eyes don't open how to restore that marriage after you have lost it. Your eyes don't open how to restore your health after you have broken your body to pieces. Your eyes don't open on how to restore your resources, your finances, after you have gambled everything away and chaotically ruined everything. No. May we learn before we scatter everything that he has placed before us. He says here, open your eyes. Where is that verse 13? Open your eyes and you will be satisfied with bread. Hi! Psychologists talk about the reticular activating system, RAS, in the brain. This RAS, this reticular activating system, it filters what we notice and what we pay attention to. When your spiritual eyes are open, when they are open, your reticular activating system in the natural begins to see things. It begins to see things. Things that were always there, but they did not connect with you. They did not connect as an instrument to produce the results you want. The people around you that did not connect as resources to partner with to produce the outcomes. Certain skill sets that you did not think could be monetized suddenly come alive to you. And the way to do it suddenly comes alive to you. Child of God, hear what I'm saying. Your eyes need to open. It says eyes will open. You will see. It says that you will see, you will know. You will see what you ought to do. You will see, and there are two things I was saying to the church yesterday. You will see light in scripture. So you will see the word for the situation, and you need the word. I can't explain this, but go hear what I taught yesterday. You will see, number one, light in scripture, and then you will see application. You will then see application. You see, it's one thing to know that wealth and riches are in your house. It's another thing to know that because wealth and riches are in your house, this is the skill that you now need to monetize. It's one thing to know that God has supplied all your needs. It's another thing to know that the jar of oil in your hand can fill, the cruse of oil can fill these jars, and these jars can be sold and monetized to pay off your debt. Some of you know the story I'm referring to. It's one thing, because when you see the light in the scripture, when you go to war with the light that has shown on the scripture you are supposed to build the outcome on, the next thing that happens, the scripture opens your RES. You then see the people, the things in the natural that you are supposed to engage. You then understand how to negotiate in that boardroom. You then understand that this is what you should say, this is what you shouldn't say. You then understand. You are able to pick up cues. You are sitting there negotiating, and you can suddenly see the body language. You know, stop moving in this direction. The person is no longer, I'm losing the person as I move in this direction. Let me change direction. And as you change direction, you notice they lean in ever so slightly. Other people miss it, and you know, this is where I need to zero in. And then you ask the question. It looks like, I think that if we change this, this might actually suit in the deal for both of us. And the person goes, yes, I was thinking that as well. You know, it's interesting. The person tells you, it's interesting. You're quite intuitive, because I was actually, and in your heart, you are just smiling. Because what has happened? The word of God that tells you that you will see light in darkness, which maybe that was your scripture, has now opened you to see what others cannot see in real time. Woo! In real time. That person is telling you that they cannot agree to your current terms. And you know that if you change these terms, it's no longer going to be worth it. And you are asking God what you should do. You find the scripture. Maybe the scripture you find is the one that says that the heart of a king lies in the hand of the Lord. It's like water, and he turns it whichever way he desires. And you realize God is saying to you, this is your scripture. Not that you just picked it, light came on it. Because you can find scriptures and just decide to run with it. But I'm talking about the one that comes alive in you. So you find it. This one comes alive. And you take it to warfare. Like Paul told Timothy, he said, with the prophecies that come over, you wage a good warfare. You are waging a good warfare with it. And then it just hits you. I don't need to change this particular aspect of the deal. If I alter my price here, or if I outsource this elsewhere, somebody else will bear this burden. I can maintain. And then you change ever so slightly the arrangement and structure of the deal. Represent your end of the bargain hasn't changed, but other matters have changed. And suddenly the person has changed. What has happened there? The word has gone. to open their heart. And then the word has given you light to know how to apply it, how to apply a child of God. You need light. So you are going to pray. I want you to pray today and for the rest of the week. My eyes are flooded with light. I see as God sees. If you didn't notice, we are praying now. My eyes are flooded with light. I see as God sees. I see with the eyes of the Christ. My eyes are open. Nothing is difficult for me. I understand beyond my peers. I see things that are to come, that I may prepare accordingly. All things are naked before me. My eyes are open. I have skill in meditation. And through my meditation, my eyes open. By the Spirit of the Lord, my eyes are led to what I ought to see, that I may encounter what I ought to know. My eyes are open. Oh, my eyes are open. I pray over you, child of God. Your eyes are open. Your eyes. You will not miss the good because your eyes are shut. Your eyes are open. Your eyes are open now in Jesus' name. Amen.